Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
I didn't hear you. How are you today?
Fine.
It's afraid your mother's told you not to talk to strange robots. Anyway, we're all happy that you're here. You're going to learn a lot about a new product that I consulted on. We call it E-Bot. I'm Big E. I was the robot consultant on the project. So we have James McCarthy, who's from HIMSS, who's going to give you a little entertaining lecture on redefining magnification. All right? If you didn't get, and there's lots of other new products at HIMSS, so if you didn't learn everything here, you can come by our booth at 705 and 805 and learn a lot more, okay? Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much. Take it away, James. You can do photo ops at the booth later, okay?
You can tell E-Bot likes a lot of attention, so do I. So positive reinforcement gets me making a better presentation, just so you know. Can everyone hear me in the back? Okay. So I'm James McCarthy, and I'm the president of HIMSS. I'm also low vision, and the E-Bot was a very special product development that I had a real personal interest in, as well as a professional interest. And here with me is a co-presenter, Terry Keeson. Terry's a teacher. Here in Southern California, teacher for the visually impaired, itinerant teacher, O&M instructor. If you did see her credentials on the program, if it got on there, she has so many credentials, I'm not sure they fit her into the presentation. But anyway, Terry's here to help talk about some of the benefits. This is a new product, so it's not like she's had her hands on it, and students have had their hands, but she knows the technology for many years. And so she's here to talk about that. So let me start with what is E-Bot and why E-Bot. We had a hypothesis that we wanted to test. As I came to conferences every year, and after I got my own iPad, I started looking around what works with an iPad. And I found out what doesn't work was more the question, because more things didn't work for the visually impaired. When I say visually impaired, I'm talking about low vision, not total blindness. HIMSS is a Braille company, but HIMSS is also a low vision company, okay? So, you know, my challenge was, why can't we put a video magnifier display onto an iPad or an Android tablet? Well, the simple answer was, there's no video input. There's no cable that you can just connect the video in, like you can a monitor, or like a USB 2.0 or 3.0, like you can into a laptop. Even though there's still a lot of development work you need to do, it's not a matter of a simple cable connection like a monitor. So people said, because it can't be done, James. Well, those are the wrong words to say, James, it can't be done. I've been told that all my life, like a lot of people who are visually impaired or blind, right? You can't do that. Why not? So engineers told me, why not? And I said, because you don't have an answer for it yet, because you haven't spent the time to research it, because no one's provided you with a budget so you can spend the time to research it, hire the proper engineers to do the proper research. So it kind of was a challenge. We knew it would take a long time to do, it would cost a lot of money to do, and we'd have to make some sacrifices. Like what other products would we have to put on hold while we develop this interface to an iPad? So what we have here, and this isn't a product demonstration. The product demonstration, you can all come to the exhibit hall. If you're here in the session, then your entry to the exhibit hall is included. So you can really have a hands-on demonstration at the exhibit hall. But we did bring the products up here, two of the three models of E-Bot. So the hypothesis was, people say that you cannot connect a video magnifier to an iPad or an Android tablet. And so that's what we have there, a big desktop CCTV pictured on the slide trying to communicate with an iPad. So the hypothesis was it cannot be. We want to disprove that hypothesis. So what we did, and I'm going to spend a lot of time on this slide, what we did is we had to figure out how do we take the camera image, the magnified print, image that's not on a camera, to a tablet, an iPad. I'll use an iPad as a generic. To an iPad, and how do we do that? There's no cable connection. Well, Bluetooth, right? Okay. Bluetooth's too slow. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Well, Wi-Fi. But there's nothing that is taking Wi-Fi in live video streaming when it's constantly moving. If it's a video, a movie, no problem, that's pre-recorded. But this isn't pre-recorded. We got to operate in live time. Okay? Streaming has too much of a delay because you don't have somebody moving the paper under it constantly. Okay? It's really capturing something, moving it very quickly, and if all you're doing is moving a full picture, that's easy. It's one burst of a full frame. Okay? What we're doing is we're taking something that's magnified. We're not taking the original picture. If we took the original picture of the paper, no problem. You just burst it and you display it. We're taking something that's magnified, and then we got to hold it in its magnified portion, keeping all of the geometry, the size, the image mode, the contrast level, and many other characteristics. And we have to send it over Wi-Fi because Wi-Fi is faster. But we can't use the area Wi-Fi because area Wi-Fi can vary. The speed can vary. So we have to take control of the Wi-Fi speed. How do we do that? Well, we have to make the product its own access point, its own hotspot. Okay, so it is its own network. Okay, so when we talk about EBOT and we say connecting to an iPad over Wi-Fi, EBOT is its own Wi-Fi network. Okay, and that's the only way we could control the speed. Then we have to take that magnified image and compress it. But how much do we compress it? Well, it depends on what the image is. Depends on how much it's magnified. Depends how many characteristics, video imaging characteristics it has. So it's constantly changing as that paper's moving. As you go from text to a picture, a photo, it's changing. So anyway, whatever that is, we have to compress it very quickly, shoot it over the Wi-Fi in one burst, and decompress it very quickly so that the eye doesn't see what we're doing. Can you imagine how fast that is? It takes a lot of memory to do it. And that's where the secret is. There's 4 to 5 patents on this product because of the technology that, you know, that it's using. So that's the quick history, technical history in layman's terms, what we have to do to get it working with an iPad. And what we have here, but more importantly down in the exhibit hall where you can take a look, is the result. There's 3 models, and it's EBOT, EBOT Advanced, and EBOT Pro. So if we go to our next slide to find out what we're doing with EBOT. Okay, so we have a video magnifier. It's going into an iPad. And what we're doing is we can read, we can write, and we can do distance viewing magnification. Okay, that's the basic premise of the product was take a video magnifier that's portable. Okay, because we don't need the screen. The iPad's the screen, or the laptop's going to be the screen, or a monitor, external monitor can be the screen. So you choose any monitor size that suits you, or anyone that you happen to have at your school, or at your home, or at your office. As long as it has an HDMI, because EBOT needs to have an HD camera. That's the other thing. It needed to be an HD camera in order to have a high enough resolution so that we could do all that image capturing. Okay? So basically, reading, writing, and distance. That's the EBOT. EBOT Advanced and EBOT Pro also have OCR. So we built magnification and OCR into it. Okay? Make it more functional, a real multi-purpose product. So what we have is the EBOT, EBOT Advanced, and EBOT Pro. I'm not going to read all of the slides. And by the way, I apologize that the digital wasn't available to follow along, but we can make the digital available to you after the conference or after the session. We have it available on USB, or if you give us an email address, Michelle, on our staff here is controlling the slides, she can email it to you. And so what we have is a device that we are sending Wi-Fi, wireless connectivity, to an Apple iPad or an Android tablet. It doesn't say here, but the multiple connectivity is also to a MacBook or to a PC laptop, and also to any monitor that has an HDMI input. Okay, HDMI is so that we preserve the HD quality of the HD camera. So not VGA. I know a lot of people are used to VGA connections. We also have a lot of features here. So the Wi-Fi connectivity, the multiple display device connectivity, we have the reading, writing, and distance. We have OCR with text-to-speech. Everybody knows the difference between OCR and text-to-speech, right? OCR is the engine that scans it. Text-to-speech is what actually is speaking to you. And reuse the acapella Dexter speech, okay? Good quality speech. We also have a choice. The EBOT is only reading writing distance. EBOT Advanced is reading writing distance and OCR, but it's a screen image OCR. EBOT Pro is a full page OCR. Everyone know the difference between a screen image OCR and a full page OCR? Don't be hesitant, shout it at me, I have low vision, I won't see your hand. No, okay, thank you, honest person row one. Do we have, did we bring the Starbucks gift cards?
We did, two of them.
Got a Starbucks gift card right here. Reinforcement for the audience, you participate, you might get a $15 Starbucks gift card. Why a $15 Starbucks gift card? Because this year, 2014, is HIMSS 15th anniversary. Okay, there's a method to our madness. Okay, thank you for the audience participation. So, a screen image OCR is what you see is what you get, WYSIWYG. Remember that term? If you're an old, you know, PC user. Giving away my age. So, what you see on the screen is what is going to be captured by the OCR and read aloud. Okay? And there is, you remember the follow the bouncing ball? Well, we do highlight the word that's being spoken at the time. And you can set your reading rate, and you can choose, I think, a male or female voice in acapella. There's a lot of speech controls that can come along with it. A full page OCR can take a picture of a full page. Okay? Capture a full page at once and read it. So that's more than what's going to be on the screen. Okay? So the EBOT and the EBOT Advanced look the same, but the EBOT Pro, in order to do live video when you want to read, but in order to do a full page OCR when you want to scan, it has two cameras, a live camera and an OCR camera. Okay, so it does look a little different. That's how you can tell the two apart. And so we do have a lot of other features that are kind of unique. No one's been able to use video magnifier controls on an iPad before, so nobody's really using the iPad kinds of gestures as a new technology or a new user interface for users. There are some low vision devices that are coming out now, like there's one or two portable video magnifiers that are touchscreen, okay? But those are standalone, they don't connect to anything. Okay, what we're doing is we're saying, you got an iPad? You wanna connect a video magnifier to an iPad? You wanna control from your iPad? You can do that. So we use the same pinch and spread and swipe gestures like an iPad. Okay, you wanna zoom? Well, just pinch or spread your fingers. You wanna change image mode? Just swipe from right to left or left to right, and it'll move one direction or the other through the image mode settings. The full color, black and white, white and black. If you want to change the contrast, you swipe up and down along the right margin, and you have 40 contrast levels. You want to scan, I don't remember how many fingers, I think we just changed the routine here, but it used to be three fingers, hold and press. Just hold, press on the screen, lightly, and it'll snap an OCR image. Okay. So you can do almost everything you can do from the back control panel. Do we have the next picture or get to the photo that starts talking about the slide that starts talking about the user interfaces? Okay, so there's a choice of user interfaces. You can use the touchscreen gestures when you're connected to a tablet. There's a back control panel on the EBOT and the EBOT Advanced. You can use the back control panel. If you're connected to a laptop, you can use your laptop keyboard, your laptop mouse. Okay. You're using the Advanced or the Pro model, you can use a wireless control, remote control. So you choose your user interface. A lot of products make you choose their interface. We're saying, we'll let you choose your interface. Anyone familiar with other products that are cameras that connect to laptops?
Yes.
Which ones?
Flick,
okay.
LVI Student.
LVI Student, okay. You're talking about the two that are most similar, actually.
Transformer,
okay. Okay, as you know, none of them connect to laptops. None of them connect to tablets, right? Laptops, I think the Flick and the LVI Student connect to PC laptops and to a MacBook.
Yes.
Transformer, no.
No.
The Twix, no. So EBOT would be, let's say, the third available that connects to a MacBook and a PC laptop. I think the Twix and the LVI Student, they probably have an HD camera. I know the Student does.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you know?
Yes.
It does. Okay, now one thing to have an HD camera, to start with an HD camera, it's another thing to, when you release the image, to release it in HD. So, you know, when you're looking at products, don't just look at the specifications. If you have an opportunity, like at a conference like this, look at the image to make sure that is it HD quality when it's coming out. You can ask, you know, at the booth. They may have someone that knows. Generally, I say don't ask a salesperson, ask if there's an engineer. ask for someone from corporate, they probably know. I'm not saying salespeople say anything, I'm saying they don't know, and when they don't know, usually the answer is yes. whatever you want, customer. I'm just being facetious. You know, hopefully in this industry, most of our salespeople are very well educated by the companies and they know the answers. If not, hopefully they'll say they don't know and they'll find the answer out for you. But look at the image quality, and if HD is important to you, great, you'll be able to see it. If you can't see HD quality, it probably doesn't matter, to be honest. So everybody with low vision sees in the visual, right? You can have the same diagnosis from a doctor, but your visual functioning can be very different. So just look at which one looks better for you. But when you're choosing a portable device with multi-device connectivity, like any of these products, eBond or any of the other products mentioned, look at the other features. It's very, very important to look at the other features, okay? How user-friendly it is, you know, how it packs, how it folds, how durable its design. Just so many aspects to look at. Okay? We're thinking that the major market is going to be schools, at least in the beginning for a new product like this. The kids are using laptops, using tablets, especially tablets. It's cool. If something connects to a tablet and they can be using the tablet gestures, it's cool. And we found that there was a real satisfaction and interest level from the students. And teachers like it because the students like it. Employment, of course. You know, I'm going to switch from having a big desktop video magnifier on my desk. I'm going to hook up the eBot, and I'm going to hook eBot up with my laptop and with my iPad on my desk. Mm-hmm. One thing that we do that's different, I'm just going to show you, for those of you that can see what's happening here, those of you who can't, you can come up after or got to come to the booth. There's, on the eBot Pro, I always had difficulty, even when I was in school, taking a camera, focusing it, you know, on the teacher, focusing it on a board, zooming it, and trying to listen what's going on at the same time. And I said, how do kids do that? They must be much better than I was. They're much smarter than I was when I was in school, because I couldn't handle it. Back then, the cameras were bigger, but same principle. So what we did with eBot Pro is we have put a motor into the camera, the live video camera. And I can press a button on the remote control. I don't know how far I have to be. But you'll see that the camera, which is now in near distance, it's in reading and writing mode. I'll press a button called far. Is it working?
It's moving just a little bit.
Okay.
It's called presentation.
It's all right.
Okay. We built a motor into the camera. And so we can go from near to far with a motor, and the camera positions itself automatically. Not only that, we have a joystick on the remote. And I just control the joystick with my thumb. And I have bad arthritis in my fingers. And I was impressed how well I could control it. So we can move the camera up or down. Okay, we can move it left or right. You can actually skew it as well, and it's all motorized. Rather quiet motor, other than when it's totally moving from near to far. When you're just moving it up or down, left or right, hardly any noise at all. You can be sitting right next to it. And then, of course, you can zoom in, you can change your image mode, you can change your contrast setting, you can snap an image, just capture an image, save an image. You can do a video, record a video. How long of a video can you record? As long as you want. The eBot Pro has a built-in SD card, so if you have a 64 gig SD card, however long that video fits in 64 gig, that's how long you can record, or that's how many videos you can record. Okay, and if you want to record more, slot another SD card in there. So you're only limited by how many SD cards you have and how much memory is on that SD card. You can OCR an image and read it. You can OCR part of a page, the full page. All depends how you position the page. Under the eBot camera. So I'll just press the near button, and it'll go back to the near position. Let's see, got to do it from this angle. Did you hear it say near view, some of you?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It has a built-in voice dial. So basically, whatever you're pressing, or for most functions, when you're just moving the camera with the joystick, it doesn't tell you what it's doing. You can see what it's doing on the display. But any of the controls, the zoom, the image mode, the contrast level, near view, far view, it'll announce to you. It has a menu. It announces everything in the menu. Our blind employees can actually demonstrate the e-bot because of the voice guide. Okay. If you don't want the voice guide in the classroom, you can turn it off. So there's a menu that actually will voice guide you through, but you can actually turn one setting in the menu is to turn the voice guide off. So you're in a classroom, you want to turn it off. Lots and lots of features for these two products. The e-bot Advanced, you do need to control the camera manually with your hand. Okay? The e-bot Pro is the new technology, the motorized camera and the joystick control. You can also control it, you know, from using like plus, minus, left, right, up, down type keys on your keyboard. So if you're using a laptop, you can control it that way. So again, remember, there's multiple user interfaces. Okay. I skipped around a bit. Are we to the
we're
school?
Up to education and employment.
Yep, let's do that. Terry, could you talk about education a bit?
Okay. Well, hello, Terry Keeson. I've been a teacher for the visually impaired for 20 years. And well, let me tell you, the evolution of magnification has really changed. Wow. So in the classroom, I work with really actually every age, preschool, actually birth through high school. So at every age, this is going to be completely fantastic because who doesn't have an iPad or a tablet like 2 years old already? I mean, it's unbelievable. So all my kids are coming to school with their iPads or their tablets. So what we're doing is we're going to be taking the e-bot and allowing them to work in the classroom if they're obviously in one classroom, like elementary school is one classroom. And then middle school and high school, they're going to be going from class to class. Well, it's 5 pounds, which is pretty light. It's probably lighter than most of the young ladies' purses on campus in high school. Everything but the kitchen sink. So they'll be able to go from classroom to classroom. And it's very, as James said, it really is cool. It's very mainstream. Very mainstream because pretty much everybody has one. Some kids even bring their laptops to school. Very few people take notes now with pencil and paper or pens and paper. The nice thing about the e-bot is if for some reason the teacher's winging it and we have not accommodated, because of course we provide accommodations in the classroom, Braille or large print or what have you, but a lot of times the teachers wing it or it's just that morning there was a great article in the paper and they're trying to share it with the class or whatever, some great news protect brochure or something that they picked up somewhere and they're trying to share it. It happens, let me tell you, frequently where the teachers don't allow us to accommodate on time. So this is great because the student can put the particular material, whatever it is that the rest of the class is using, in real time, in a timely manner, along with everybody else. They're not waiting for their accommodated material to come 3 hours later or the next day. So they can use that the e-bot, whichever one they prefer. Additionally, in the library, anywhere on campus, the detention room, you know, wherever they are in the conference, we have a lot of our older students, they need to make up units, and they're what's called a teacher's aide, or TA, in the classroom in high school. It's an easy 5 units when they have so many units and they run out of electives, so that this can actually help our students be the TA in a classroom for that particular teacher. No longer do they have to say, well, I can't really do it because I, you know, I can't grade your papers, or I can't whatever, you know, write your passes to the bathroom or whatever the TA is doing for that particular period of the day. So these are kind of fun things that are real, really functional aspects of a student's life. I mean, it sounds so trivial to us as adults, but in a child's life, and I'm sure all of you have been through school, so you know what I'm talking about, anybody with low vision, you know, it's a challenge to begin with, and then to not be able to do certain things or to fit in with the rest of the cool kids, you know, it's kind of a drag. So this is going to help them definitely fit in. Now, an employment one is so another wonderful aspect of my job is helping students with transition from being a senior to the workplace or a living skills program or K community college, whatever they're going to be doing after high school. This is so portable and transferable. It's amazing. They're not going to be using one thing in school, some big old hunkin', you know, CCTV or whatever, and then, you know, move to the workplace or school and use something else. This is transferable. It's very easy to use. I mean, the learning curve is like 3 minutes. I mean, you know, here's how to use a remote control. Oh, wait, they already know how to use it since they were born. Okay. So, my grandchildren are like, they're doing things that I didn't even know what to do, you know, like, I didn't even know. It's amazing what they, all the technology that they know when they're pretty much born, you know? So, so that's what I mentioned, the books and the magazines on the spot. So, for the distance viewing, obviously, we have now smart boards. We no longer have chalkboards or blackboards. They're called smart boards. So the teacher's actually writing the material. Actually, it's kind of weird, it's on a laptop, and it's projecting up onto the whiteboard or the smart board up at the front. It's a very interesting concept. So the teacher's actually not even in front of the class anymore. They're sort of at their writing tablet on their laptop, or their writing tablet is really what it is, and they're writing, and it's coming up. So the distance viewing is perfect for that, for the smart boards. Also for the PowerPoints, not many people do that anymore, but some people still do. Obviously we do, but in the classrooms they're still using PowerPoint. So that's really a good technique to be able to use the eBot for the distant viewing, and easily goes right into the near viewing for writing or taking notes. You know, in the old days we had to bubble in their Scantrons, okay, so they would take the test, maybe in a huge, big format, and then we would bubble it in. Now they can bubble their own Scantrons, yay! So, I know, one less thing. So there you go. Now, what I was thinking, what this would be really good for is a lot of our kids have labs. So biology lab, chemistry lab, that's always been a challenge in our school. So, how great is this? Near viewing, looking at the Petri dish or whatever is in whatever their beaker, whatever they have, looking at that on their iPad or their little monitor, whatever they prefer to take around. This monitor here is really light, so that you can, there's such thin monitors now, so that's actually in some cases better for the students than an iPad, so whatever they want. Additionally, they could hook up their laptop, monitor, or iPad, and not have to disconnect. Each item can be used, you know, all at once. You don't have to disconnect, hook in something else, then go back to this. It's all together. So they can have their monitor, their big monitor if they want, to look at whatever's in the Petri dish or the experiment that they're doing, and go to their laptop and be taking notes and be able to see that because, you know, it's all connected. So that's an excellent feature. Read textbooks, fill in the blank, test taking. Yes, math is great. Wow, math. How hard is math to do in large print? So this is fantastic. And there's no, what I really like about it, the old days, that whole X and Y table on the CCTV is moving it, and the screws were loose, and you're getting a complete dizzy spell looking at it. This is great because it just reads it. There's no X and Y, so it's a flat table. It just sits there, camera moves, your head's not moving. You know, so we have one of the big things in education is the Common Core curriculum, which is going to be addressed on the IEP, the Individual Education Plan. Every student, special ed, has one of these plans. It's a federal document, has to be followed. There's rules and regulations. It's a very strict guideline to provide accommodations for the students. And one of the big things now, the big buzzword, is the Common Core standards, which means our students must be provided with the Common Core curriculum, and this will promote inclusion in the classroom and allow them to be able to access that. I'm not kidding you, but we have actually waived geography for our students. How sad is that? Now they can take geography, see the maps, in HD, that is so fantastic, HD. People realize. I mean, it's so amazing. I put a map under there, I'm like, wow, that's better color than in print. So it really pops out. so our kids can be included and take all those wonderful classes that, you know, unfortunately weren't that easy to take without something as wonderful as HD camera and also, of course, the ease of using it. Let's see, did I forget everything? Transition and technology, yes? Yep. Well, and I'll turn it back over to James.
Sorry, why don't you stay up?
Yes.
I think we got some time to, you know, to talk about it. Few more features we can go have some interaction and questions and answers. Terry mentioned something which was important, the XY table of traditional desktops. Of course, these portables that connect to laptops usually don't come with any sort of XY table. Some companies might have a mini XY table. You know, it's an extra piece to carry. So many times the student's not taking it anyway, or I know I had one and I thought it was neat. I actually had a student use the LDI student, you know, when I would travel, but I never took the XY table with me, even though I thought it rolled smoothly. There's another piece to carry. That's one of the things we're eliminating here, too. Even for reading, you can use the joystick on the remote control, and when the camera is focused straight down in reading mode, you can just read across the line by just moving the joystick, you know, to the left to read across the line. And when you get to the end of the line, yeah, you can use the joystick to go back, you know, and then pick up the next line, or you can just press the enter button, and it does a character turn for you. It won't go up to the next line. It's not a line for your character turn like the old, you know, electric typewriter, because it doesn't know how much to move up. It depends on your magnification level. Okay, so you have to move up yourself to the next line. But this joystick is basically replacing the XY table. And like I say, I'm amazed that it works. I'm a pretty harsh critic after 33 years in this business and having low vision. Can't remember. But if I tell you, then you know how old I am. So that's one of the good things about low vision. When you look at someone, they can be young, they can be old, they can be pretty. I always tell my wife I never wore a watch for years. She asked me, why don't you wear a watch? I said, I just stopped the prettiest girl I find and asked her what time it is. Positive attitude, right? Your students, your clients, so always have a positive attitude. So, good point, Terry, about the XY table, but the camera will actually move. You know, the joystick will move the camera for reading, if we want to read that way. You can always leave the camera straight down. You can always move the paper, okay? You can always buy an XY table for one of the other companies. We don't have one, and it'll work. Okay, questions? Questions, answers?
Yes, sir. We've had trouble with, and maybe it's because we don't have an HP camera, which is another product, viewing the whiteboard. Does it glare from different times of the day, sunlight on it? Is that the problem? We don't have an HD camera in this device?
It is a little bit a camera related. The standard resolution cameras, it depends really how the engineers program the parameters of the camera, really. But standard definition cameras, they just don't have as much that the engineers can do with it. Well, they have a lot. And that's why you need engineers to design these products. Because the way we use cameras is like the opposite of the way cameras are designed to be used. They're designed for 3 feet out to infinity, and we're using them, you know, 6 inches to 12 inches. But so don't mistake me, even the standard definition cameras have a lot of parameters, but the HD cameras have a lot more parameters, like 40,000, 60,000 parameters that the engineer can play with. And you can actually change parameters depending on lighting. One of the things that the Ebon has, for example, many of the devices don't have LEDs built in to the camera. We actually have LEDs built right into the unit. So you can turn the LEDs on and off. That might help sometimes in glare situations, having the LEDs on or off, even when looking at a distance. Generally, when it goes to a distance, the LEDs shut off automatically. So there's a sensor that knows when the camera goes from near, you know, vertical position to the more horizontal position for a distance. Generally, the LEDs are going to shut off because you don't want to shine it into somebody's eyes. It's a low LED, so it's not going to hurt anyone's eyes that we're using. So that's one thing that it has, you know, the built-in LEDs. A lot of products don't have those built-in. That might help. The HD resolution does help. There's a company, well, there's a project, I'm not sure all of you are aware, the National Deafblind Equipment Distribution Program. Mm-hmm. It's under the FCC auspices. Every state has an NDEEP contractor. In California, it's the Lighthouse in San Francisco for the whole state. And they were trying to use a camera, a standard definition distance viewing camera with a built-in monitor. They were trying to use it to pick up somebody signing. So the low vision, someone who's deaf and low vision who can't really see the person signing unless they're right in front of their face, they're trying to pick up signing at a distance. And the standard resolution cameras couldn't do that. but the HD picked that up. It could follow the movements very clearly. So yeah, in certain situations, it's hard to say it will help with glare in this situation or that situation. In general, the answer is it probably will help in certain conditions.
But EVA also will adjust a little bit to the ambient light. It can kind of sense the ambient light around, and it will adjust a little bit to that as well.
Yeah, there's an LED light that can go on and off, and the LED lights can also adjust its sensitivity, but the camera has a light sensor in it too. So just about every time a company comes up with a new product, if they're putting in more or less the most current HD camera that's out there, it's gonna have like better light sensitivity and auto correction if the engineers and the company decides to implement those features. They sometimes do, sometimes don't, you know. It depends on how quickly they want to get the product on the market, how much money they want to spend in engineering, you know, how well their knowledge is of the product and what the quality is. Like I say, I've been around for 33 years, so when I test this thing, they say I break the product. Give it to me for 3 minutes, I'll find faults. That's what happens when you're a user, you know, for more than 40 years, and you've been in the industry for 33 years. My quality control people trained me, and my engineers trained me from other companies. Other questions? Good question.
James, question on reflection off of high gloss surfaces. For a lot of people, magazines, anything that's got a high gloss, it affects the image output on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
How does EBOT deal with that?
That's one of the reasons for either turning on or turning off the LEDs, even in the reading position, mm-hmm. when you're looking in a high gloss magazine. The HD cameras might do a little better than non-HD, it really depends. It's not an HD or not, but being able to turn the LEDs on and off can help. I've noticed when we come across like a really glossy magazine,
yeah.
like in a Hyatt, and they have upstairs a really nice
yeah.
you know, a magazine, hardbound, but in the room, and it's very glossy, thick paper. I did find turning off the LED light helped.
So there's a way to turn it off in the read mode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So that helps, but it's the other thing is you can put a filter. If somebody has a filter, mm-hmm. just take a colored filter and put it over. Mm-hmm. That helps to break down the glare in the high glossy. So if you're in a classroom, obviously if you're traveling with the product, you may or may not bring a little filter with you.
James?
Yes.
How much does the tablet affect video performance? You know, if it's a iPad Air compared to a $99 Android tablet, how much does the tablet affect the performance of the video quality and like refresh rate and you know moving and things like that?
Yeah, the better quality the screen, of course, the better response time it's going to have. We're coming up with the specifications as we test more models. Generally, I know, you know, like an iPad 1 won't work. The original iPad won't work. It's got to be an iPad 2 or higher. We did write an app, for those of you who are wondering, well, how does the iPad and the EBOT find each other? Well, of course, we wrote an app, an EBOT app. The EBOT app is free. You know why? You can't use it unless you have the hardware. I'm going to say free firmware, yeah. So you have to launch the EBOT app, so there are requirements in order to get that app, to download the app. But like I say, it's not very strict because an iPad 2 running version 7, iOS 7, that'll work. We did the iPad first, we're doing the Android now in engineering. The products will be available end of April, the EBOT and the EBOT Advanced will begin shipping. By middle of June, the EBOT Pro will be shipping. So we're still finalizing. So with the Android, we're doing more testing, like which OS of Android works better or works not so better, so good. So it is a real challenge on the fade. That's more or less what we're working on right now is the fade. Because it's not a direct cable connection, we are going over Wi-Fi, there's more delay, there's all this compressing, decompressing that's going on. So when you see it at the booth, you can come and take a look at it. The iPad, the touchscreen control is a little sensitive right now, so you can't swipe too fast or it'll just freeze up and then you have to let it unfreeze itself and then you can try it again or we'll have to just reboot the system. But you can use any of the other control methods and you can just see how it reads. But you will notice more fading probably on an iPad than on any of the other devices. Actually, the iPad to me works better than when you use a USB 2 connection to a PC laptop. A Mac connection always goes through USB 3. So USB 3 is faster. I haven't really played with it with MacBook. I've only played with it with a PC laptop. And to me, the iPad image fades less than on a laptop using a USB 2.0. So come to the booth and you can actually see it for yourself and see if you see the, you know, the fading or the delay. But we have to overcome a lot of other problems like noise on the screen. You know, vertical noise and flickering of the letters. We've overcome that pretty much.
What is the booth number?
Beg your pardon?
The booth number?
Booth number 705 and 805. It's two island booths. You can't miss us.
You go in the A, Grand Ballroom A door, if that helps.
Look for the robot.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, take a picture of the robot, yeah.
Well, which door? Door
that's
number
the special
A.
Guest.
We're in the front left corner.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Closest to the harbor, tower, that entrance to the exhibit hall.
So you can tell us the best part,
closest to the bar.
Oh, the price.
Yeah.
The price, the E-Bot, which is the model that does not have the OCR, okay, but all of the other connectivities and features. E-Bot is $2,695. E-Bot Advanced, which adds the remote control with the OCR control, and its screen image OCR, that's $2,995. And E-Bot Pro, which is the full-page OCR and the joystick control of the camera, the motorized camera, and other built-in features. You can actually control, by the way, although it's not working on the iPad at the moment. We can play with it within the company, but we didn't put it in for display because it freezes the iPad too much. But you can actually control the joystick using gestures on the iPad. So you can go up, down, left, and right, and you can control the movement of the remote camera or the reading camera. So it has those extra features in the Pro, and that's $3,895. Yes, in the front, then I'll come back to you.
Okay. Well, it's obviously intended as a personal use device at this point. Any possibility of having an app developed that would eliminate the control head part of it, but would still be able to receive the signal? So you can feed multiple tablets or multiple monitors?
We have talked about it.
Broadcast Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're first going to get through this stage before we go to broadcast. Go broadcast is a whole different animal. So you're saying like the five students have iPads,
right?
And there's one e-bot, and the teacher wants all students to see the same thing at the same time.
Kind exactly.
Of thing. We're working on that. That's going to come. We're going to begin working on that in June or July. Maybe depending on the difficulty, it'll get out late this year or early next year. That's the plan. Don't hold me to it.
James, could you do that with join.me?
With him?
With join.me.
I'm thinking, if you were using a laptop to display and you had an internet connection, you probably could connect multiple laptops to that one e-bot laptop, and I think that would probably work.
Yeah. Cool. We have the head of engineering and the e-bot engineer here, so we'll ask. If you come to the booth, we'll try and have an answer by the end of the day. But my thinking is there might be some slowness going through
there
another
level.
There
may be a delay across the internet.
That's my
We're
thinking.
We're trying them.
But yeah, if you're not moving the image around a lot, if it's a still image or you move it slowly, but it could work for now. It could be a good interim solution.
Yeah. What was the name of that product again?
Oh, what I was talking about?
Yes.
Join.me.
Join.me?
Yeah, it's... an internet-based service
It's a free screen sharing.
It's a free screen sharing. So if she's presenting, she could give a code and say, and I could log in into join.me and put in the code and see what was going on that computer.
See, and my thinking, it's just me. I'm not an engineer. I call myself a strategic engineer. I come up with ideas, but I don't know how they do it. I have a PhD in that. Self-appointed, one of those honoraries I got one year. So my thinking is that join.me works when it's full screens being put through the Wi-Fi. When it's dynamic, there's a lot of movement, I'm thinking we may have some problems. But I'm thinking that might be a possibility. Maybe less engineering would be required for the e-bot itself.
Because I know if I'm running Zoom text and I bring it up, it'll come again.
And it'll move and everything. Yeah, the thing is the Zoom text is like in the computer, fully in the computer, whereas this is taking some external interaction.
We should try it and find out.
Yeah. We'll try it, for sure.
Yeah, we'll know how it works.
All of our spare time this afternoon.
That's right.
And there was a question back here.
Well, I'm just wondering with the different versions of the e-bot, I'm just wondering if there was the potential for upgradability. If you got the original e-bot, if there was the potential for upgradability to the next
if you buy, good question. And I'm not sure we have all of the answers yet, but if you go from e-bot to e-bot advanced, the answer is going to be yes, it's upgradable. The difference between e-bot and e-bot advanced is OCR and this, well, it's a different wireless remote control. EBOT Advanced and EBOT Pro have a different wireless remote. So technically, EBOT has the OCR built in, because it's got the voice guide, okay, which has, so it's got the hardware in there to talk. So it technically has the OCR, the firmware in there, and the text-to-speech firmware is in there, it's just that it's not turned on. So in theory, if you wanted to upgrade, we would send you the EBOT Advanced remote control, wireless remote, and then you would have to go into the menu and you'd have to put in the password that we give you and it'll unlock the firmware that's already in there. Okay? And for that, there's a $300 price difference. To go from an EBOT to an EBOT Pro or an EBOT Advanced to an EBOT Pro, there's a lot of hardware. There's a second camera, there's the motors, and the motors, so that the motors, it takes a heavy duty motor actually to do this and do it smoothly and not too fast and don't overpower the system. So there's part of the motor is built into each camera, the OCR camera, and part of the motor is built into the live video camera. So there's a lot of hardware, so I don't think upgrading to the Pro is possible. Or it would be possible, but it's probably better to just be an exchange of, you know, a trading type of thing.
Gotcha. Thank you. Did you have a question? Yeah, there's another question.
Hello. The screen when you're using the able split screen on part of the screen with the camera and other part windows apps normally talking.
Did you hear what he said?
No, can you screen. Can you understand the question?
I
understand the question.
I kind of got part of it. I saw the hand gestures.
Yeah.
Split screen.
If you're using a PC,
you should be able to, but on other devices, it's full screen.
Okay. Right. Yeah, not on the tablet, but on a laptop, that should work. Yeah, because the EBOT is, I'm going to say, even though it's got a lot of its own intelligence, it's a dumb device as far as the other, like a laptop is concerned. The laptop sees it as a dumb device. And the EBOT sees, okay, something's connected to the USB, but it's not taking control of the laptop in any way. It does have a folder that you have to open, of course, you know, on your desktop screen, on your Mac or your PC laptop. But all that is it's giving you the controls. It's giving
you
the PC
or Mac, it's just like every other program, you have your minimize and the other buttons, and so you can control that window size just like any other program.
Mm-hmm. Good question, though.
James. I have a question about the networks. If it's on its own network, would you not have internet access to at the same time?
You mean, could the EBOT access the internet?
No, your device.
Could you access the internet from your iPad while it's connected to the EBOT because you're using that Wi-Fi connection?
If you're using data.
Mm-hmm. Right. Remember, EBOT is its own network. So your other device will go on area Wi-Fi? Does that answer your question?
Well, the iPad cannot connect to two networks.
To
the iPad is connected to the EBOT. The iPad cannot connect to the internet, which
right.
In a school is probably a good thing because you don't necessarily want them taking a test and hopping over to the internet. So,
well,
I
ask because my daughter uses an iPad at school. It's a pretty good device.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she's connected to the internet because they use Join Me and they do other things. So if you had to switch back and forth between a network, it seems like an extra step.
That's kind of a pain in the,
yeah,
for the iPad. In that scenario, I would probably connect it to a laptop because then you can use the wired connection and you still have your Wi-Fi for the internet, or vice versa, and go with a wired internet and the Wi-Fi to the EBOT.
I mean, and you could. Remember that there's this hierarchy, so when you can have the laptop connected and you can have your iPad connected at the same time. If you launch the EBOT app on your iPad, then your EBOT camera will display on the iPad. And when you close your EBOT app, then it will automatically display onto your laptop. So you can go back and forth, but it is an extra step to go back and forth.
Well, the EBOT connected to the Wi-Fi of the school and then was a bridge, then it seemed like that might solve the problem. I know that's technically possible.
It hasn't been tested.
Yeah, it's another thing that, you're right, man. This gentleman running here mentioned that it's right now being developed as a single user, atmosphere or environment. And yeah, we have to do that before we move on to the next steps, but that would be another next step in the testing. And if there's a problem, to try and get it working. Yeah, so there's a whole marketplace out there for connectivity. It offers a lot of potential. And so this is just the first step to get connectivity, and then we start exploring all of the potential.
James, how about updates? How seamless are updates or firmware updates?
I wish they put a USB on the outside. Technically speaking, the USB for the EBOT and the EBOT Advanced would just take a firmware download, so you just connect up from your laptop, PC, just connect the USB to the back of the EBOT or EBOT Advanced, and it can update. Okay, the EBOT Pro, unfortunately, it cannot update externally. We don't know yet exactly how we're going to make this decision, whether a dealer has to do it, whether it needs to be taken to a service center or shipped in to do. But you basically take the cover off from the back control panel, then you can plug in. So for some reason, I don't know if it's a restriction of the design, nobody thought about it early enough, I don't know the reason why yet, but the cover of the control panel needs to be removed, then you can plug in. And whether the user can do that on their own, or an AT guy at school could do that with some instruction, we're not sure yet of the complexity and how we're going to give the authority to do that for the pro. Obviously, we don't want it coming back to us. So, I mean, at least that's not what our office here wants. But hopefully the engineers thought about that. We don't want to, you know, the school can't be without it, and, you know, worker can't be without it. You know, an individual doesn't want to give it up. It's just an upgrade. So I hope we can come up with a solution for the pro that's more seamless than it appears from now. Good question again. And by the way, all updates from HIMS are free. Yeah, and EVA will be free. Our Pro products are free, and this will be free as well.
I have a question regarding the Wi-Fi. In your description now, it seems that if the wireless network, which is provided by your EVAs, cannot be anyhow adjusted, which bandwidth is used in the EVAs? Is it a 5 GHz or 2.4 GHz?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tech. We'll have to ask the engineers. I don't know that.
Yeah, if you come to our booth, usually, like this afternoon, between 12 and 3, we'll probably have, you know, Mr. Choi is the head of our engineering, hardware, and software divisions, although he's the vice president of the company. But he'll most likely know the answers to questions like this. And if not, then the EBOT engineer will be in the room.
There's a robot.
Oh, and yeah. You can ask Big E, but, you know, we're not accountable for the answer he gives you. Questions about education, the Common Core testing thing is a really big thing. And somehow the whole industry needs to get its arms around. Terry is telling me that in California, Terry, you can explain more, but in California, they're kind of going with this one company that has the accessibility built into the software. To me, that makes no sense at all, because here a student is using, in his everyday studies, everyday class, he's using some adaptive device. And when he goes to take the test, he has to use the zooming or the speech or whatever works. Let's say he's a Windowized user, and I heard that, well, this Common Core test is going to work with JAWS. Well, you can't take a Windowized student and tell them for the test you got to use JAWS. He's at a disadvantage. So, yeah, the testing companies need to somehow cooperate more with us. We need better communication so we can get this working so the student can use their own device transparently.
Yeah, it's a pilot program. It's called the Smarter Balance, and it's all online. I think they're doing away with the SATs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's a pilot program in California, and it's a mess. That's all I can say. We've had so many trainings now on working on helping our students that are braille readers, helping our students with low vision. All these trainings, so now we're training the student actually how to take the test, how to use the accommodations in the hardware, or, you know, using their software they have already in the program. Oh my goodness. So that's, James is right. When they're used to a particular accommodation or adaptation or what have you to access the materials, now they gotta learn a whole new thing just for this crazy program. Anyway, I understand other states have rejected it, so maybe California will, I don't know. But they're gonna get a lot of teacher feedback, so I'll give them my feedback.
But in all fairness to this company that designed this, there was another company that designed something and they were working with some of the vendors, but this company's a big company and they have an education division for this and this level, education division for that level, and different vendors, new people in the different divisions, so some companies' products were working, others weren't. It depended if you knew someone, if they liked you or they didn't like you, so that wasn't gonna work for the students either. Yeah. You know, they have to develop a more open interface so that these devices can just connect.
That's the nice thing about EBOT is that you can take the standard printed materials that the other kids are using, put it under there, they can use it. Hopefully they can start taking their own notes. It maybe would even save the school some money because they don't have to hire a note taker. They don't have to have a teacher's assistant to help the child take that test. They can take the test on their own with something they're familiar with using every day.
What I like about the distance cameras nowadays, I'd be a lot smarter if these products were available back in those years. Who knows? Obama's from Hawaii. I'm from Hawaii. Maybe I'd be better. Not sure I want that job.
Where's your birth certificate?
Get science class. Science was so hard. And I couldn't get my face close to things, So with these distance cameras, you can do that in science. Math was so hard. I'd have to go up and, either work with a teacher or a student after class, copy down all the formulas, and, so now it's really possible. So, more low vision engineers.
Not that it wants you, but it makes you want to go back to school or anything.
We take all the classes.
Yeah, the technology is available now. The only problem, then you got big school loans to pay back nowadays. Well, thank you, everyone. Please visit our booth, 705-805, get your hands on the product. And get your picture taken with Big E.
Meet Ebot from Hims. Ebot is the first and only iPad-compatible, portable, reading, writing, and distance viewing video magnifier with optical character recognition. And get this, the connection to your iPad is totally wireless. Want more information? Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com. Or if you are at CSUN, see us in Island Booths 705 and 805. Ebot, the new standard in video magnifiers.